This is Blood in Bohemia, a Checkout special series.
With Vít Pohanka
and Rob Cameron.
Two journalists hacking their way through the murky thicket of murders, betrayals and massacres that shaped the Czech nation.
So join us as we uncover its history's darkest chapters. What you've just heard is the opening jingle of our brand new special series for Checkast, Blood in Bohemia. And I have to say, this is a project that I'm genuinely excited about. Over the past months, I've been working on it with a very good friend and colleague of mine, a British journalist based here in Prague, Rob Cameron, a longtime BBC correspondent. Together, we've put together a series of 10 episodes exploring some of the most dramatic and often quite brutal moments in Czech history. Because whether we like it or not, blood and violence were very much part of life in the past. But we are not just superficially retelling dark stories, sensationally kind of. What we really want to understand is what those moments meant, how they shaped this country, and why they still resonate today. And before we start publishing the episodes, I thought it would be a good idea to have a quick chat with Rob and introduce him to you at least a little. And here is our conversation. So Rob, obviously you are now living in Prague for quite some time now, but you're originally from Britain. So how did you end up here? When? And what struck you when you first arrived?
That's right. I have been here 33 years this year, and I have, in fact, just celebrated my fifth anniversary as a fully fledged Czech citizen. So I'm now a citizen of both the UK and the Czech Republic. I'm very happy about that. I first came on holiday, really, in the summer of 1992, when it was still Czechoslovakia. And I came to visit a friend who was teaching English in the south of the country, in South Bohemia, in a place called Vimperk, which is in the Šumava mountains. And we spent 2 weeks, you know, hiking the forests of Bohemia, quaffing your very, very fine lagers, and generally enjoying life in very freshly post-communist Czechoslovakia. There were a group of four of us, and we decided, wouldn't it be great to come back and live a kind of bachelor's existence in a flat, you know, perhaps in Prague. That didn't really happen, but within a year, three of those four had moved to this country, and 33 years on, two of them are in fact still living here. So that's my origin story, as if you like.
Right. And while you were hiking around the Šumava, I suppose, right? Do I remember correctly?
Exactly. I said that.
Did you come across some Czech history too?
I think at that point, to be honest, I was much more interested in the recent history of this country. Obviously, one of the things that really drew us as foreigners from Western Europe to this country was, you know, the whole history of the previous 40 years as a communist country, totalitarianism, the Soviet Union, and so on. So it was going behind what had been the Iron Curtain that was really so fascinating to us. So I was more gravitating towards the communist period. Excuse me. I was gravitating towards the communist period, towards the wartime period, the Holocaust, and so on. So personally, in the very beginning, I didn't really have any inkling of, you know, the things that had happened in this country, the first defenestration of Prague and the 30 Years' War and all the rest of it. I didn't really know any of that, to my shame. As a history graduate, I should have, but I didn't. It's only recently, in fact, in the last, say, 10, 15 years that I've read more about those older periods of Czech history.
You know, I have to admit that Czech history, and especially its darker, kind of more violent chapters, it really fascinates me. It always has, you know, ever since I was a boy. How is it about you when you started reading about the older Czech history? Was there something, you know, that kind of caught your attention?
Oh, there was so many things. I mean, I think if you remember a few years ago, there was this meme on Czech social media about Kaliningrad, Kralovets, the now Russian enclave that was actually founded, I think, either for or by Przemysl Ottokar Druhi?
That's right. Yeah, it was the second.
The second. Exactly. So that was really fascinating to me. The idea that, you know, Kaliningrad, that is obviously so frequently in the news these days, and is such a sort of modern story to most people, actually started life as this, you know, Bohemian enclave founded by in honor of the Bohemian king. And I think it was, what, 800, 900 years ago. So it's a really, really interesting period. And ever since I read that, I thought, my God, there must be so many other chapters in Czech history which are equally fascinating and odd, and things that you would never really think about. And, you know, lo and behold, thanks to the series that you and I have recorded together, I've been able to delve into some of them and better understand them. And obviously, some of them are myths, some of them are legends, some of them are real stories, but they're all equally fascinating and useful in telling us about who the Czech people are and what happened to them.
So far, we've been kind of dealing with stories that happened in the Middle Ages in Blood in Bohemia, if I can reveal, in the episodes that we have already recorded. Why do you think is it important, or at least worth it, to tell Czech history through stories of those times, and I will say quite openly, stories of murder and violence?
I think so, because they're very attention grabbing, aren't they? They're really, you know, they do stop the scroll, as it were. And once you do read a few sentences about something that may have happened a long time ago and may not even have happened the way we think about it, certainly the bloodiness and the murder and the ruthlessness of some of the leaders and the terrible things, frankly, that people did to each other in the Middle Ages and even before that, certainly a great entry point, I think, for anybody who calls themselves an amateur student of European and Czech history. So, yeah, I have no problems at all with, you know, using those as a jumping off point, people having, you know, their heads chopped off and their entrails pulled out and stakes stuck in various places. I think that's a pretty good place to start, really. But perhaps I'm just a child when it comes to history.
We are dealing with figures like St. Wenceslas, stories that are sometimes history, but sometimes legend. I will also maybe mention that I was interviewing some real historians for that, and we are using what they say about history. And what really strikes me is how the real stories that we can say were proven, you know, to happen, how they kind of mingle with legends and how it's difficult sometimes to untangle that. Obviously, you're a journalist, you're a BBC correspondent in Prague, and I just wonder, how do you navigate that line, both when we talk about history, but also when we talk about present as journalists?
Well, it's a great question. And I think for someone, you know, as most journalists, I think, should be, someone who's obsessed with finding the truth, what really happened to this person? When did it happen? Why did it happen? Did it really happen in the way that we thought? I think that's something that is, you know, of true of something that happened 800, 900, 1,000 years ago, as something that happened perhaps 50 years ago, 60 years ago, 80 years ago. I mean, just as an example, I've had, as being a journalist here, I've had the great honor and the great pleasure of speaking to so many people who were actually actors in your country's 20th century history, including those who you know, remembered the Prague uprising in 1945, for instance, and the liberation of Czechoslovakia from the Nazis. And that's a great example because speaking to them, that was the first time that I was confronted with things that I had never known and I had always assumed. And those assumptions, even though they were not ancient, it wasn't ancient history. This was, when I did it anyway, 60, 70 years previously. The things that I'd always thought about what happened to this country, it was, you know, Prague was liberated by the Soviets and so on, not true. And so when you do read new versions of history, and when obviously you have that incredible opportunity to speak to some of the people who are not only eyewitnesses, but also participants in that history, that can really change your perspective. Obviously, we can't do that with Wenceslas or the Slavnik royal family and so on, noble family. But I think the principle is there. The more you do find out about something by speaking to the historians that you've been speaking to, Veet, then a more accurate and a fairer picture we get of history and of exactly what happened.
Finally, Rob, if someone's listening now and thinking, wondering, do I really want to hear about all this bloodshed? What would you say to them? Why should they listen?
Well, I think they should listen because many people obviously, have a very superficial knowledge of this country and its history. And indeed, when you walk around, some of the most incredibly well-preserved palaces and castles, of which there are so many in this country, and when you're a tourist here and taking photos of the architecture and perhaps looking at some of the art and the pictures and learning about the stories, then you do get, in a sense, kind of a sanitized version, a glorified version of Czech history. And I think it's really useful, actually, to be able to peel back the layers a bit and find out more about these historical personalities. Going back to the very first person that we profiled, St. Wenceslas, who is known to the English-speaking world as Good King Wenceslas from the Christmas Carol. But of course, one of the first things that you learn moving here is that he may have been good, but he wasn't a king. And then the King Wenceslas was indeed a king, but he wasn't very good. So all these things, I think, are really useful for anybody who has even a superficial interest in the Czech Republic and its history.
Well, Rob, well, thanks very much. And I'm really glad that we can work on this. Let me just mention that we've already recorded 6 episodes and there's 4 more episodes that we will start publishing. I will say publishing because that's more precise than broadcasting, since the beginning of May. So, Rob, take care and see you soon.
Thank you. You too, Vít. Speak to you very soon.
Thanks for listening to Blood in Bohemia, a Czechcast special series.
With Vít Pohanka.
And Rob Cameron.
And if you enjoyed today's episode, please follow or subscribe wherever you listen and share it with a friend.
It helps us reach more people and bring you more stories from the darker corners of Czech history.
On Czechcast.